Well, this morning I'd like to share with you two different scripture readings that give us a little insight in how to extend grace to other people. The first is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 38 through 42. And this is where Jesus is teaching about revenge. Listen to these words that come directly from the lips of Jesus. "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But now I tell you, do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, let him slap you on the left cheek too. And if someone takes you to court to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if one of the occupation troops forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it for two. When someone asks you for something, give it to him. When someone wants to borrow something, lend it to him." And then our second reading comes from the pen of St. Paul, from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, we read this. "Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us from these words of Scripture and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, this past Friday being the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing, like probably many of you, I thought back to where I was and what I was doing on the night of that historic event. And like many, I was huddled around the TV set with my family, listening to Walter Cronkite and watching this unforgettable event take place. I was in sixth grade, and I remember watching it in our basement family room on our brand new color TV. Those were new back then. And then I'll never forget this. Late that night, after Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon, my brother and I headed out to our backyard and then climbed up the 25-foot rope ladder to our treehouse where we slept that night. And I took my binoculars with me, thinking that I might be able to spot Neil and Buzz walking around on the moon. They were very powerful binoculars, and I wasn't all that bright. Well, another thing that I remember about this time period was one of my best friends, Ray Atchison, who I was super competitive with. Do you ever have friends that you're kind of competitive with? And a friend that you're kind of always competing with over things? Well, Ray and I were in the same sixth grade class, and we both had selected the space program as a project that we would report on and write a paper on. And each week, as we reported out to our class, I noticed that Ray's research was remarkably similar to my research. I would write letters to different companies like Grumman and Whirlpool and get information, and they would send me back nice letters and brochures about their involvement in the space program. And Ray had like the exact same information. And so it kind of was apparent that one of us was swiping the other's research. So I told my brother about this, and we devised a little plan. We came up with a list of fake companies with fake addresses. A list with the name of 20 companies, fictitional companies, and I left that list conspicuously on my desk and then asked to go to the bathroom. Well, you see, Ray's desk was right across the aisle from mine, and Ray took the bait. He wrote all these fictitious companies that were on my list, and about 2 weeks later, he started getting all of these letters back. No such company, no such address. I have to admit, it felt good. It felt good to get a little revenge on Ray for swiping my research. It was kind of sweet. And if all of us were being truly honest with each other, we probably would admit that there are times that we have truly enjoyed getting revenge on a rival. Frank Sinatra once said the best revenge is massive success. And I got an A on the project. I don't know how massive that is, but I got an A, Ray didn't. And believe it or not, Ray's mom had the nerve to call my mom and complain that I had tricked Ray. And I think my mom said something like, "What goes around comes around." So let's just be honest. Sometimes revenge is sweet. But playing that revenge game is like a double-edged sword. A sword that on one hand can defeat our rivals and at the same time can do great damage to our souls. In our scripture reading for today from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "You have heard it said," he was quoting the Old Testament, "an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. But I tell you, don't take revenge on someone who wrongs you." And today's message, as I mentioned, is about extending grace to people even when those people have wronged you. When talking about extending grace, Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, let them slap you on the left cheek as well. If someone takes you to court to sue you for your shirt, let them have your coat as well. Now, a lot of people have problems with this because they think what Jesus is teaching is that people should be doormats to unjust behavior. That Jesus is teaching that we should just allow people to do whatever they want to us and never hold people accountable. That, however, is not what Jesus was teaching. Throughout the scriptures, we get this idea that for grace to be extended, there is first an act of repentance. That is a consistent theme in all of scripture. That even to receive true forgiveness and grace from God, it requires us to own up to our sins and repent and ask for forgiveness. Take, for example, the story of the prodigal son. The son eventually comes to his senses and owns up to his mistakes and then comes home seeking mercy from the father. But keep in mind, the father did not go chasing him around town saying, "Son, please, 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 please come back home." What he did is he waited. He left the door open. He didn't take revenge. But when his son returned home, he extended lavish grace. Even threw him a big welcome home party. The kid blew it. He came home with his tail between his legs. No need to rub it in. The son owned up, acknowledged his mistakes, and the father not only forgave him and had mercy on him, but his father lavished him with grace. Okay, real life situation. Let's say your son or daughter was speeding and wrecked the family car. Would you just say, "Oh, here's the keys to a brand new car"? Is that being a good parent?
No.
Thank you. $5 after the service for that, right? Yeah, all right. What happens when there's no accountability for your child's actions? They don't learn. And the next accident very well could cost their life or the life of others. So there's a need to own up before grace can be conveyed. And throughout the scriptures, you see this pattern over and over again. So you must be asking, well, if that's the case, Mark, what was Jesus talking about when he talked about turning the other cheek? Was he talking about just letting people run you over? No. He was talking about not taking revenge. He was talking about not trying to get even, because seeking revenge will not bring justice. Seeking revenge will not make things right. In the Old Testament, there was this idea of justice, that if you pluck my eye out, I'll pluck your eye out. If you cause me pain, I will cause you pain. Now, there are some people that you'll never come to terms with. When they do something against you, you know that they never will apologize. They will never repent. They will never attempt to do anything to set things right. Fallen human nature tells us in cases like this, we should do something to get even. That getting even will somehow bring some sort of justice, that it will somehow make us feel better, that somehow two wrongs will make a right, and that's wrong. And if we were to summarize the words of Jesus when it comes to dealing with people who've offended us or hurt us or caused us pain, dealing with people who will never repent or seek reconciliation, it comes down to really two things. One, get over it. Two, move on. Don't let other people's hate live in your head rent-free. Don't let evil get a foothold in your life. Let God deal with it. It's above your pay grade. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, St. Paul writes this. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. Never take vengeance into your own hands. My dear friends, stand back and let God punish if he will. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. These are God's words. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't allow yourself to be overpowered with evil. Take the offensive. Overpower evil by good. My old boss, pastor that I really, really respect, Bill Nelson, used to have this plaque on his desk. It said, love your enemies. It will drive them crazy. I always thought that was kind of funny, but somehow I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. Now let me ask you this. What happens when you get all preoccupied with giving revenge? In a nutshell, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your energy. It burdens you down with plotting and planning and figuring out all sorts of passive-aggressive response designed in getting back at the person who wronged you. And it can rob you not only of your time, but it can load you down with a whole boatload of negative energy. So let go and move on. And even more than that, repay their negative behavior with good. It breaks the chain. It stops the war. It de-escalates conflict. Okay, another real life situation. Let's say someone at work trashes you. They lie about you in order to get the promotion that you deserve. And then, as you're leaving the parking lot on some dark night in December in Syracuse, as you're pulling out of the company parking lot, you see that guy that lied about you on the side of the road. His hood is up. His car is broken down. There's a blinding snowstorm and temperatures are well below zero. He has no coat, no jumper cable. He looks kind of hopeless. What will your response be? A, roll down your window, and being biblical, shout, what thou sowest, thou reapest. And then speed off laughing. You got yours, buddy. B, drive by slowly with a big smile, making sure he sees you, but do not stop. Or C, stop, get out your jumper cables, and give the guy a boost. C. You're getting an A today. Now think about this. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And then think, what would Jesus want me to do? And if he has an Ohio State sticker on the back of his car, what would I do? I'm not saying. So this is not about replacing revenge by extending grace, even when it is, and especially when it is unmerited. This is simply the way Jesus teaches us to live.
Extending grace to others is a way of reflecting the grace that God has already given to you. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, yet God has extended his grace to us, and extending grace to others is one way for us to pass on the grace that God has given to us. In 1 John, we read this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus was recorded as saying this in Matthew 6: for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You see, there's this connection between your willingness to extend grace to others and your ability to receive grace for yourself from God. They're tied together. So as you leave this place today, I have a little assignment for you. Ask yourself, how are you doing when it comes to extending grace to others? Ask yourself, how am I doing when it comes to letting go of the need for revenge? How am I doing in doing what St. Paul recommended, not keeping this record of wrongs? Then ask God to speak to you about ways you can extend grace to the people in your life, especially difficult people like Ray Atchison. You may have a coworker, or a friend, or maybe a family member or a neighbor that you just need to stop trying to get even with and start extending grace to. It doesn't mean that this person will suddenly become your best friend or even someone you trust. But by extending grace, by letting go of the need of revenge, of moving on, and putting it in the hands of God, you're doing what Jesus taught. It's just simply a better way to live. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to understand and accept the grace that you offer to us. It's unmerited. Help us to live more like Jesus and to extend the grace that you give to us to others. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.